The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
You will say that.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Let's start with this call because it's breaking news-ish. By the time you've heard this, you know, but still.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby, Timmy. I just saw this headline in The Independent and thought of you the second I saw it. It's Leonardo DiCaprio, 47, and Camila Morrone, who turned 25 in June, have split after 4 years of dating. And I feel like the mention of the detail that she turned 25 means that the author is a hooligan, because that's immediately what I thought of as well. Also, my sign-off, I've been thinking about it because after you did the Sammy Sheen and then Denise Richards joining OnlyFans, and Lindsay was like, oh, the whole family's on OnlyFans. So that's my sign off. The whole family's on OnlyFans.
I'm gagged.
We just talked about this.
You think he would at least date her till 26 just to get the average up? Like, what's one more year to like kind of get people to stop literally saying this? Because at first you're like, okay, leave the guy alone at this point. But then you see the actual like lineup and the ages and you're like, well, but you're just like, this is actually absurd.
It's outrageous. It's outrageous. Okay.
It's outrageous.
Lindsay, I did something really stupid. I sent you a PDF. I want to do a dramatic reading that I wrote today.
Wait, you wrote a screenplay?
But I don't want you to read it ahead. I want you to just read it as you do it because I want it to happen. I just did it. Okay. I'll read the like scene direction. Do you want to be Camilla or Leo?
I want to be Leo.
Okay, I'll be Camilla.
You be Camilla.
Read the directions and stuff. Okay, here we go. Interior, yacht dining room, night. Leonardo DiCaprio, 47, is seated across from Camila Morrone, 25, in the dining hall. The setting sun on the French Riviera casts an orange glow across the white linen table and sparkles in their freshly poured glasses of champagne. I'm Camila. Camila.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I'll try to do a voice. Beautiful. I don't know what she sounds like. Who does? I don't even think Leo knows what she sounds like.
Okay.
I've never heard a voice. Never heard this woman speak in my life. Beautiful night. That's good, Leo.
Is that what he sounds like?
Yeah, that's good. Camilla blushes. Do we have anything planned tomorrow? I'd love to spend the day alone, just the two of us.
Did something happen between you and Toby?
No. I'm just saying it would be nice to do something romantic. Just the two of us. Toby can be a bit draining emotionally.
He's had a rough couple of years.
We all have.
What's that supposed to mean?
Camilla scoffs. It means we've all had a rough couple of years. Remember the pandemic, the one that's still happening? Leo turns his head toward the sun. Camilla keeps her gaze on him. What's with you today? You seem on edge. Is there anything I can do to help?
Nothing. I'm just starving.
I am too. Leo's still watching the horizon, and now so is Camilla. Over roughly 20 seconds of total silence, the orange hues from the setting sun fade to shades of dark blue. Another sunset, over. Leo picks up his glass of champagne and holds it towards Camilla, smiling at last. To us. Oh, wait, that's you.
No, that's me. To us.
Camilla's face brightens. To us.
We had a good run, didn't we?
Camilla cocks her head. Of course we did. Of course we do.
An all-timer, I mean it.
As they both take their sips, a server appears behind Leo and sets a plate in front of him. On it, a steak and French fries. Oh, I didn't know we ordered. As Leo begins slicing into the juicy cut of meat, the server places a pair of Apple AirPods Max over his head. Leo? Baby? What's happening? Leo keeps cutting, face to the plate, when a security guard approaches Camilla from behind and gently places a hand on her shoulder. You be the guard.
Ma'am, please follow me.
Wait a minute. Leo. She tosses the contents of her champagne flute in Leo's face, but he remains calm and unresponsive. He eats a French fry as she continues screaming.
Mrs. Maroney, it's time for you to leave the ship. A dinghy is waiting for you along with all your things.
What? Is this for real? I'm being kicked off? Why isn't he saying anything?
He told me to give you this.
She opens a small envelope and pulls out a card. On it, in scribbled Sharpie, you read the card.
I never wanted 26 more. Sorry I couldn't make it.
The guard begins forcing her out of the room. Her screams have turned to sobs. Leo keeps eating, chewing slowly, steadily, having another sip of champagne after every bite of steak. By the time he's cleaned his plate, Camilla's halfway to the shore.
The new Apple AirPods Max, now with the best noise cancellation ever.
I was out of my mind today, okay? Just forgive me.
Where did you write this? Like, on the plane?
I wrote it on the
plane. Were you in the... Was there, like, some sort of altitude sickness that you had?
I wrote it on the plane. I was like, I need to do something. We need to do something to commemorate this. And, like, I'm on the plane.
I had some altitude sickness.
I had a little bit of altitude sickness. Also, I think I didn't have enough protein over the past couple of days, so I'm a little woozy.
That's exactly how it happened. They sent her out to sea. I thought, you know, Titanic references. I'm shocked. They were just on the yacht. I thought you were going to bring it to Titanic or something.
They sent her out to sea.
They literally did send her out to sea. Ironically, he should be sent out to sea. He's old. She's young.
I mean this sincerely. I don't.
Yeah, what happened? What happened?
I don't think Leo is the type to I wrote this because I was thinking about, like, how does Leonardo DiCaprio break up with a woman? And it's sort of like, I think he pulls the burger. I don't think he does it in person. I think he just stops communicating with them.
What was your news?
Oh, Burger broke up with me on a Post-it.
On a Post-it?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yep. Read it and weep, my friends.
I'm sorry I can't. Don't hate me. The motherfucker's concise.
Well, I think he just stops communicating. I think he's a fucking baby who is not going to have a serious conversation with this woman.
It's just weird because the difference between all the exes, I mean, God, what do I know, and this, but like they spent pandemic together and there was all this writing about how like close they got because they were in such close quarters. Like, oh, they really bonded over the pandemic. Like they really had to like be together. Yes. I mean, also like, she could have broken up with him.
That's fair. That's
fair. It's kind of like fucked up for us to all be like, oh, well, he pulled the trap door and she fell through it down with the rest of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It also could have been her who kind of implied, hey, I want more from this relationship or I want more from my relationship. I'm ready to like be mature, grow up, maybe have a kid, like maybe get married. And I think the thing with him is maybe it's not that they're all turning 25. Maybe it's they're all deciding they want to be in mature relationships and he just doesn't want any of that.
Yeah.
And that's like the trend. And it's like, that's a thing that happens with a lot of 25-year-old to 27-year-old women, right? Like that's a thing. You start thinking about what you want.
And Leo already knows what he wants and it's 21 to 24-year-old women.
Or
that's
it's just
it.
Women who don't want that. Who just like, you know, I think if he dated somebody older than him or his age, he could find someone who wants exactly what he wants, but he doesn't want that.
What we have from the source, because Us Weekly got the exclusive, which is like, what does that even mean anymore? It's over. After 4 years together, they've broken up. Okay. Quote, DiCaprio has been attending events and going on vacations without Maroney. From the CARE Gala to the UNICEF Gala to Saint-Tropez, a source exclusively reveals to us, he's been spending more time hanging out with his pals like Tobey Maguire and Jamie Foxx. So it's like, it seems like it just ended.
Well, you know what happened also? Her mom and Al Pacino broke up too. So like that maybe had a lot to do with it. So he couldn't double date with her mother anymore and his best friend Al Pacino.
When did that happen?
It happened because remember he got that girlfriend we talked about who was like kind of a question mark?
Oh, the one that he had the Shrek case with?
I'm happy for her because I think now she can have like a career.
Because she's an actual actress.
Before, but it was always like overshadowed by Leo and she's been in some good stuff, you know, or she's been in some stuff. That's been like notable.
Well, Lindsay, don't try to backpedal. We just said we don't know what this woman sounds like 5 minutes ago.
I don't know. I swear I've seen her in movies, though. I swear I've seen her in a movie or two. She was in some kind of like road trip girly movie or whatever.
Dad, the kitchen's clean. I'm going to bed.
Okay, honey. Hey, can you help me with this?
Just a little bit. Why are you moving this? Mm-hmm.
Because I need you to come over here. I just saw somebody run by.
What do you mean you just saw someone run by? I just saw someone run by here?
I did. I did. I want you to get
Dad,
under the stairs.
Dad, why are you putting me under the stairs?
Call
Dad,
the cops
where are you
right
gonna
now.
Go? Dad, please be
take
careful.
Your phone
Dad,
and
please.
Dial 911.
What is your emergency?
There's men, they're breaking into my house. They're on my front lawn. I think they're here.
Did you see this great tweet? I have to commemorate this tweet, which happened literally at 12 a.m. midnight on August the 31st by Tom Neenan. This is a killer joke. Titanic turns 25 this year, at which point I assume Leonardo DiCaprio will no longer want to be in it. That's an all-timer. That's a better than late night.
That's
joke,
really
you
good.
Know?
That's really all-timer. Good. That's right? That's Jay Leno wishes, you know, totally.
Well, you know, sending one off into sea. I mean, who else will he date? Timmy's pissed because whoever's next, he's going to have to research.
It's like
Timmy
we
said,
had
not another one.
We knew Camilla Maroney. We were comfortable with Camilla Maroney. Not sure how to say either of her names, but I was comfortable with her existence.
I know, we really don't. We keep saying Marone and Maroney interchangeably, hoping that one would be the right answer.
I think about it like Sopranos, like Maron. That's how I
like
think about it, but I know
like
that
Maron.
Can't be right. Maron.
Right. It can't
like,
be Maron. That's Maron. Like a swear word, isn't it?
I know. I don't know. Maron. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Also, I thought Maron was Madonna, like Madonna,
me
like
too.
Swearing somehow, but it's
but I don't
not
think
that.
It is. Yeah, I don't think it is.
This is sad. I mean, I don't know if I'm sad. It just, it's so interesting to think of Leo
think
like,
sad.
Remember like, remember when George Clooney was like forever a bachelor, but it was somehow like it was somehow like more charming than that. Like he pulled it off in a little bit more of like a people didn't mock him for being a bachelor. Like he didn't I guess he didn't take 25-year-olds. Right. But he
here's the thing, though. Leonardo yeah. DiCaprio has been considered a lot of things, but like suave and debonair is not one of them. And that like
exactly.
is exactly
right.
that is like
you're right. you're
that's
right.
what. Oozes out of George Clooney, you know, like there's a yeah. old Hollywood like Cary Grantness to him, you know, like it's suave.
Leo
it's...
is never Leo behind the scenes. He does like enough charity work to justify like being on the level of Clooney and is in enough good movies to be on the level of Clooney. But you're right, like there's an interpersonal like charm, the pranks that he pulls and his Hollywood pals aren't as cool, you know, like he yeah. there's a kind of a weird like. Secretive scumminess to DiCaprio that everybody oh. like loves to kind of ignore, even though like when he's in a movie you'll die to see it, you know.
Well, also the thing about Leo is that like Leo's charity work is very like very much seems like it is the result of a conversation between his publicist and his accountant being like, look,
oh my God,
you're
stop.
A sleazebag, everyone
he
knows
loves
it
the environment.
You're a sleaze
no.
everyone knows it, you need to act like you are a good guy.
No.
The accountant says that if you put your money in green energy it's a good place.
I feel like he's been doing like really good environmental. I think the only
he
saving
takes
grace
the
of
private
DiCaprio is
he takes
like,
Taylor Swift's
yeah,
jet
well,
to
he
his
offsets
climate conventions.
It. He offsets it
and then
by doing all this other stuff.
And then he goes on super yachts all the time.
Okay. Well, either way, the what do you call it? The Q score of who saves the planet is high for him. Because it's
yes,
like Greta, Leonardo DiCaprio. Who else? Who else is saving the planet? Greta, Leonardo DiCaprio. Name another. Name another.
Al Gore?
Name another.
I don't know. Al Gore.
Okay. Al Gore. Three. That's three.
If those are the three
name
people we've
else.
Got, we are out
name.
Of luck.
Name them. Jane Goodall. Who else?
Greta, Leo, and Al Gore saving the planet. I just heard every remaining glacier melt. They're gone. They're gone.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Lindsay, they're gone.
God. Well, ever since he hit one with the Titanic, he's been paying.
I never thought about that.
Ever since.
I never thought about that.
He hit one.
Hi, you're probably going to do a lot of calls about this, but just since the latest, the other reason that J-Lo probably didn't want Virgos, other than the fact that Leos and Virgos don't necessarily get along well, is that Mark Anthony is a Virgo, and I think there was a lot online about how they probably recently broke it up or something when she did this. So, thanks.
So, this caller,
that is
sometimes,
not why.
Sometimes people call and say, oh, you're probably going to get a lot of calls about this, and they're right, and sometimes they're wrong. This is the former. We got a lot of calls about this. People are very familiar with Mark Anthony's zodiac sign, and it is Virgo. And now we've heard that J-Lo does not like Virgos, and this could be the reason. This could be
She's
the
like,
reason.
I don't fuck with Virgos ever. My ex was a Virgo.
And we are not.
It
on
is
good
crazy
terms.
Though for her to.
I think they're actually
if
on
she
okay
had
terms.
If she famously fired these Virgos, or she didn't not fire them, she just didn't hire them. Mm-hmm. Would like that she would marry a Virgo. So if she's so anti Virgos, it doesn't make sense. Like one has to beget the other. Like I don't really. You know, do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Which came first?
I'm reading Distractify's headline for this, and it's, so does Jennifer Lopez have a personal vendetta against Virgos? And every story is now like this, where it's like they're connecting the dots, and those dots are Virgo symbols. What is the Virgo symbol? What is this?
It's a meatball. It's a helmet.
It's a maiden. It's a maiden.
See, I don't know.
That's not interesting. The point is, J-Lo does not like Virgos, presumably because her ex, Mark Anthony, was and is a Virgo. Moving on.
I'm shocked Virgos aren't speaking up against J-Lo. I'm shocked this made the rounds, but no Virgos are coming out, you know, as being like, take J-Lo, fuck you for discriminating against Virgos.
I'm sure there is a corner of TikTok where that conversation is being had loudly and proudly. So, like, if you search long enough, you will find that conversation being had.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. First time, long time. This is Mallory, and you made a call for reasons why Alaskan people might be so interested in Nepo babies, or specifically nepotism. And it's probably because there is a long history of nepotism in Alaskan politics, such as Lisa Murkowski is the daughter of Frank Murkowski, another former senator. We have the Begich family also currently running, I think, for Senate. I don't know. I don't live there anymore. And on top of that, the current Anchorage mayor is being accused of nepotism for appointing his wife to the library council and a whole bunch of other messy stuff. So I don't think it's Nepo baby so much as it's just good old nepotism. Have a good one.
That's so funny. So so we think people are searching for like nepotism celebrity base, but it's like people are just searching for nepotism because their like political system is full of people like doing each other favors.
Yes.
Because of nepotism. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. I love it.
Also, I was like,
I hate it. I mean, I literally hate it, but you know.
The caller mentioned the Begich family, which is a political dynasty in Alaska. And I was like, why do I know that name? Why would I know anything about Alaskan like state politics? Remember that podcast? Did you listen to it? Missing in Alaska, about the plane crash in Alaska? It was about this plane. Remember I complained about it all the time because it was like never any good information in it.
Yes.
And I was like, I listened to Missing in Alaska again. And you were like, why are you still listening to that? That was about a plane
crash.
You
love to listen to 9 episodes of a show that doesn't have any information in it.
Shut up. So that the Begich family was part of that. They died in that plane crash.
Oh,
but those Begiches are still part of Alaskan politics, I think, or they were for a bit. So like it's all coming full circle. Alaska loves nepotism.
Sure.
Okay, next call.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby, Timmy. Long time, literally 3rd episode. First time, I don't have anything interesting to say to anybody, lol. I went to the Ava Max concert in Greensboro, North Carolina that took place in the Sam's Club parking lot. It was a sad showing, you know. I can't imagine, you know, Sam's Club probably paid her, what, $200,000, I would assume. She can't be that cheap. And it was, you know, maybe a few hundred people. And they all showed up, like, right when she started. So it was kind of disappointing. Ava Max literally rolled up in a white minivan. Like, a white minivan. And people started screaming her name. And when I say people, I mean just gay white men and children under the age of 12. It was an experience. She looked great, though, and she sounded fantastic. So, you know. I'll give her credit where it is deserved, but it was the hooiest thing I've ever witnessed in my entire life. Yeah, that's it. Crunch, crunch. Is your vagina too acidic?
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby, Timmy. I am a proud Greensboro native. I went back home for the pre-Ava Max concert at Sam's Club. One, it was in the parking lot, not in the actual Sam's Club, which I will be pointed by. Two, she actually put on a show. It was like a fair, like a couple of hundred people there who were there as like enthusiastic fans, not just like for a free concert. And she had choreo. It was hot as hell. It was choreo, her backup dancers, a full band. My only question is, she was like, this song, you may know who it's about. I didn't know who it was about. What is the lore behind her breakup songs? I will definitely send you an email with the videos of the event. It was a blast. All right, crunch, crunch. Girl Boss, Gaslight, Gate City.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby, Timmy. This is literally my third time calling in 24 hours. Called twice yesterday about Ava Max, and this is also about Ava Max. So I went to the concert and also found that the reason it was happening, I realized we had no idea. I didn't know, at least. I didn't even know about the concert until you all talked about it after she announced it. It's because the Sam's Club announced a competition for to see which Sam's Club could get the most new members in the past year, and it just so happens that the prize was an Ava Max concert and a block party. And so Greensboro, North Carolina got the most new members this year, so Ava Max came. All right, that's all. Lindsay Podcaster, Crunch Crunch.
Fascinating. Oh my God. So you're saying that, okay, this gets a little interesting. Greensboro, North Carolina did not just randomly get an Ava Max concert. They won a contest, and the prize was an Ava Max concert.
Yes. Yes. Remember when Pitbull did this? Remember when, like, everyone...
Yeah, but it was like a whole internet scheme. Yeah, it was like
the internet spammed him to go to, like, the most isolated Walmart for this performance.
Like a real
and he ended up going.
Greensboro, North Carolina won. Like, it had nothing to do with the internet.
No, I didn't see this anywhere.
I'm so glad we at least one hooligan. I think a few hooligans went. One hooligan took home the sign for that said Ava Max Hydration Station, which I feel like is literally a family
hooligan.
Heirloom.
Because the hooligan who called said, I tweeted, you were retweeting my tweets, and we retweeted the sign. I think this hooligan got the sign.
Ava Max Hydration Station. So funny.
Also, the entire performance is uploaded to YouTube. Someone did film the whole thing.
Oh, it is?
A few people took videos. I tried to put it in the Monday episode, and the clips just weren't good. One of the clips...
Was she like, hey, psychos?
Okay.
Did she say that?
No. I was desperate for all... I mean, the concert,
did
I think, was like
40... Did she acknowledge Sam's Club at all?
No.
Did she say anything about Sam's Club?
In what I scrubbed, anytime she spoke to the crowd, she'd shout out
Sam's
North
Club.
Carolina and or Greensboro. She never said
Sam's
was like,
Club.
And when she said goodbye, she was like, love you, goodbye. Like, I think she said Greensboro when she left, but she 100% did not say,
like,
thank you, Sam's Club. Sam's Club.
I would pay $100 for her to say thank you, Sam's Club. Like, she never even acknowledged that she was at Sam's Club.
I mean,
she hauled her ass from all the way from Greensboro back to Newark for the VMAs the next day. So
here's the caller is saying, sort of saying, it was sad because there weren't a lot of people, but also the caller is saying there were hundreds of people. You know, it was a very specific audience, as they said it was mostly gay white men and children under 12.
I mean, either
is...
way, we're loving that Ava Max played the Sam's Club in Greensboro, North Carolina, but she definitely made like $50,000 just to like get on her ass and like sing her songs, you know, for like 50 gay people. So that's great to me.
I think that she made good money specifically because it's Sam's Club and they have so much money. So like her people probably knew they could ask for money and get it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think I think it's a good deal. All right.
How do I deal with life's insanities? I have a simple solution with long-lasting benefits that helps me stay focused, refreshed, and keep cool no matter what life throws at me. And so can you.
That's right, Ava. Extra is not just for freshening breath.
It's for freshening life.
Yeah, next call. Let's move on to some questions.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby, Timmy. First time, short time. I was wondering if you could talk about Devin Ross, who plays the assistant to Alicia Vikander on Irma Vep on HBO. She's very cool looking, and I was looking her up, and she has $110,000 on Instagram, which is confusing to me because I had no idea who she was. My friend thinks that she might be a Nepo baby. I think that she might be some kind of, I don't know, some kind of like alt something or other that has a very specific following, and she was like stunt casted or something. But I was just wondering if you knew anything about her. All right, crunch, crunch.
We don't have to spend too much time on this, girly.
Is
this
she
woman,
Nepo Baby?
She's an interest. So I, it's Nepo Baby again. It's secret Nepo Baby. And the thing is, I watched Irma Vep. I liked Irma Vep. I talked about it on the Patreon. She has a pretty small but significant role in it. And she plays this young, she's the Alicia Vikander character's assistant. And there's something very like, there's an affect to the way that she speaks. And there's this sort of like distant tone that she has. And it's sort of like, who?
Yeah.
She's so, she has such a unique way of speaking. And I really didn't think about like where she came from. I never was intrigued by her enough to ever Google who this person is.
But you would, but you'd be like, she's good.
But I should have. She was totally fine. But like, I should have, because there's something weird about her. But it's because this is like her first role.
Okay, so she's a model.
Yes.
And she has the face of kind of many models. I wouldn't say she has like an interesting look. So what?
No, she doesn't.
She has,
no.
That's interesting is a really interesting haircut. And I think what this reminds me of is very much like Tyra Banks. Like, we're going to give you a crazy haircut.
It'll like, set you apart.
It's very much like I went on America's Next Top Model and they gave me like a dark brown mullet with bangs, and like that
and
is
I
like what made
sobbed
me a model.
And I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed, but guess what, it got me a gig.
You are very reminiscent of Twiggy to me, so we are chopping your hair off,
because that's, I think she's extraordinarily beautiful, but I think the haircut like almost makes it like over the top, like, okay, this girly is fashion, you know. And you can tell that she knows it because she like is always working this, like she's working the hair.
Well, you'll notice, do you know who her father is? She's vaguely nepotism. Her father has a semi-iconic haircut. Her father is the lead guitarist for Lenny Kravitz, Craig Ross. Okay, when I clicked him, I was like, why the hell would I know who this... I was like, I don't know who this person is. Why would I know who Lenny Kravitz's head guitarist is? Then
but
I clicked
him,
and I was like, I recognize this guy. He's always in pictures with him. I know who this guy is. I didn't know his name.
I have to say, being the daughter of Lenny Kravitz's guitarist to me is not nepotism. Does it mean
her
you,
mom was a model,
you live
though.
A... Okay, maybe. Okay, well,
her mom
I'm just saying,
model.
Does that mean you, maybe you're from LA and you live like upper middle class life? Sure, you're priv, but like you're privileged. But are you nepotism? Like, I don't know. Like, I think this is kind of on the
like,
line.
Are they,
you know? If she
is
was
your parent
Lenny Kravitz's
helping you get your
daughter,
foot in the door, maybe. Yeah, that's the question. Were her parents helping her get her foot in the door? And I think with the acting, no, but with the modeling, yes.
Or just like being around the right people growing up in Los Angeles going to the right parties because you're like relatively wealthy. Sure, that also helps too. But that's not nepotism to me. Nepotism is like a distinct family kind of, I don't know. It's where it gets tough. I feel like because everything feels like nepotism, I have to start drawing the line, because like then it makes me crazy, you know?
I think it's like textbook definition nepotism, but it's definitely nepotism should be on a, there should be like a Kinsey scale of nepotism, you know? Like there needs to be like a, there needs to be like a Witherspoon scale of nepotism, and
right,
we need
so
to know.
Right, so what's high and low? Is it 1 to 5? Are we doing 1 to 5?
Oh, I think we rank it with, 1 to 5, and it's sort of like, well, 1 to 6. So it's like your 6 is your, your 4 5s are your gummers, your 5 6 are your gummers, and
five,
your,
six are your
maybe
gummers.
Your 3s are your Chets, because it's like he's definitely doing stuff exclusively because of his parents, but is he all that successful at it? Isn't part of one of the measurements of nepotism like, sure, you get your foot in the door, but did it work? And that
all
is
right,
sort of like
that
reliant
that was,
on talent.
I don't know that it is.
I'm just saying like, and maybe it's not.
I would
not.
Say she's like a 2 or a 1. I would say
she's
a
on
1.
The scale. So it's less about, okay, I take that back. Chet's actually way up at the top of the list, right?
I think he's a 6. I don't think
he's
it's a matter of whether you're successful.
It's not about talent.
I just think if,
it's not about talent or
it depends
success.
On how, it depends on like how easy was it to open the door? Did the door weigh a lot? Did it swing right open?
It's a
screen door? Like, what are we talking here?
It's a measure of your parents' power and your parents' work. So it's sort of like.
But also the effort that it took for you to get to that.
Yeah.
I would say like the effort it took for you to like open the door, step through the door, get the opportunity
so
or whatever.
When you are.
Because you know, and like Eva Marie Martino, that's a 6, baby. She like, she played her mother's
yes,
younger self, you know?
Exactly.
Like, she got, her IMDb page was populated before she was.
Yes. So you've got this Devin Ross woman. And you've got someone like Amber Midthunder, I think is also a very good person to represent the lower level of this scale, which
I would say
just
like
means
one
like
one or two. That's like your parents work in the industry and
you're surrounded
you
by the
like,
industry. You understand how it works, yeah. But you don't necessarily have all the doors opened for you. You're just aware of the doors and how the doors open.
One or two feels like it's my family business. That's when yes. we always say, like, is it nepotism or is it just the family business in a way? Okay, right. Mm-hmm. Like, are the Gummers just in the family business? It's a little different. Is acting, you know.
I believe Meryl was kicking those doors open. You know, like, I yeah, find it hard
I
to
do
believe
too. And
otherwise.
They look like her and they've played younger her. And
they
like,
literally followed in her like, footsteps down to, like, the yeah. Yale stuff. You know, like, there's certain things that
those
feel
those are sixes.
Those are sixes.
I like that there's a scale. I think this
yes,
helps
we need
us
an nepotism
I think
scale.
I think we're getting caught in the kind of like name calling of it all when it's more about what the origin story is. Where so like if you're like, is this model girly nepotism? And I'm like, yes, kind of. And you're like, and then I'm like, her father is Lenny Kravitz's guitar player. Then you have more of an idea of what I'm trying to say to you. What does that mean to you?
We need to make I keep mentioning the New York Metro weather account, but we need to make like an account like the dew point
we
graphic
do.
That they tweet every day. That's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Maybe it's only 5. We just need to work on it and make a graphic because we got to make this. We got to disperse this.
But I do like that Reese Witherspoon's kids are 6. It's what's her kid's name? Douglas
Deacon.
Fairyweather. Deacon Phillippe
Douglas
is like
Fairyweather. Douglas Fairyweather.
I don't know.
Deacon
whatever.
Witherspoon. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
okay,
this girlie,
anyways,
Devin
there's
Ross.
There's nothing else about her except for the fact that she's dating Nick Cave's kid.
Okay,
and
that's
Nick
a
Cave
something.
The singer, not Nick Cave the artist. And they have the same haircut, unfortunately.
Yes. They met doing a Gucci gig at Disneyland in Paris.
Yeah,
okay, that
sure.
sounds fake.
And she said, "Hey, you have my haircut." And he said, "You have my haircut." And then they kissed.
You have my haircut. You have my haircut. I don't remember 9/11. I don't remember 9/11 either.
Oh
this
God.
Is perfect.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Let's move on.
He does zombie movies, but they're really making like important political statements.
What kind of important political statements?
He depicts alienation. The film's about being cut off from your own interests. I mean, you're being used by society.
Well,
and you're
what is that?
Not even aware of it.
Have to do with zombies.
Zombies are the ultimate alienated individuals.
It was like 70 something degrees a couple days ago. It's time to put our winter weather to bed, or in my
Pull
case, under the bed.
Your linens, sweeties. The linen. It's time. It's linen season, honey.
Oh, all I want is linen all the time. I just want to be draped in linen for my entire life.
Not only am I pulling out my linen tops, my linen bottoms, my linen dresses, I'm putting on my linen sheets. I'm putting on my linen pillowcases. I'm just like, Ooh. Everything is linen because the weather's getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to jackets, sweaters, and hello to shorts, tees, and linen.
I know. I should probably buy some linen shorts from Quince. I have a Quince cotton duvet cover that I really like.
Ooh.
And it's warm.
Ooh.
It's warm in the cold months and it's cool in the warm months, which is sort of where I want my bedding to be, somewhere mm-hmm. in the middle. You
and
know?
You can get premium European linen from blouses, shorts, dresses from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And you get it for a good price because Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, they cut out the cost of the middlemen and pass the savings on to you.
I hate middlemen.
And
hate
Quince
middlemen.
Only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love it.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/who. I love my Helix mattress. I love my Helix pillow. What else is there to say about Helix? I freaking love it.
What
when I sleep on other beds,
what is there
I
else
get
to
mad.
Say is that I come back to my bed and I'm like, this is the bed. This is the bed. And it's honestly spoiled me for other beds. And I don't like traveling sometimes because I'm like, this is not my bed. Where's my bed?
I want
I've
my
made
bed.
It, I've made it. It's my special bed. It's my special mattress because it is a mattress that is made for my body.
Mm-hmm. I took the Helix quiz. It told me which Helix mattress to get, and that's the one I got, and that's the one that I love, and that's
yes.
the one that I will not stop mm-hmm. using because it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. Mm-hmm. The mattress is so good that when we got it, my cat Winston became obsessed with it, and now he's on it all the time, and I'm
no
like,
way.
You have to move because
no
I
way.
Need to sleep on the bed. It's my bed. It's not your bed.
Wow.
He's obsessed with it. It's irritating, actually. Wow. He likes the Helix so much.
It's so rude.
Every body is unique, and I mean everybody, two words, because everyone sleeps differently. Their bodies are different. And that's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. I'm a side sleeper / stomach sleeper. Some people are back sleepers. Some people are exclusively side sleepers. There's a Helix mattress for all of you. Not only is the Helix the best mattress I've ever slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Their mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door. You just open it up and it like kind of like blows back up after it comes out of the plastic, and you put it on your bed and it's amazing. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model. And if you don't want to take our word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/who. That's helixsleep.com/who. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. Sierra just announced she has a skincare line coming out. Just like every celebrity has a skincare line now. Is that a Zemi thing? To have a skincare line? Is that hooey? What's the threshold? Crunch, crunch.
I saw a tweet about this that really clarified this for me. Mm-hmm. And I already forgot who tweeted it, so I'm sorry. It was in a reply somewhere. Right now, celebrity skincare is the same as in the past, celebrity fragrance. Okay? In the past, it's still today a little bit, but in the past, it felt like every celebrity had a fragrance. Remember, like, Britney had one. Like, everyone
Paris
had a fragrance.
One, yeah.
It was so easy to have fragrances and to make money off of them. And it felt, I guess we were less, like, in the girl boss era, so it didn't feel as much like you were in control. It was more like, you know, you... It was like Britney
what
Spears.
Was that really hilarious?
Whatever.
What was the hilarious Beyonce one with, like, the dumb... they all have dumb bottles. Heat. Beyonce Heat.
They all have awful bottles.
But like 2010. Like it's a completely different era.
Catch the fever. I'm fire.
Beyonce Heat. The first fragrance by Beyonce.
And then it got crowded, I think. Mm-hmm. And then you started seeing them at Duane Reade. And you were like, okay, why is this like, you know... Why is this Christina Aguilera fragrance being sold for like $5.99
in a
you know,
box
whatever,
that's
like...
the size of a Monopoly box with a tiny fragrance in it? Like, why are celebrity fragrances sold in gigantic Monopoly boxes?
Okay. You know,
what's the point of
that? I agree. It is very strange. But I guess my point is that like that's what the skincare stuff is starting to feel like.
Yeah,
skincare has become trendy in a way where it feels like it is like it's too crowded. It's why do we need Sierra's skin line? Why do we like I think that she's beautiful and I would love any tips from her on how to do my skin or hair care or whatever, anything, dance or whatever. But I do feel like it is a matter of like, at this point, I don't
know.
You
type this out, and I'm sure that there are these like little differentiating things between all of these girlies, these famous celebrity skincare lines. But like the thing that's being written about on every write-up of Sierra's new skincare line, which is called, what is it called? It's like OAM.
Should be called
is that
goodies.
It says
it
was exactly
goodies.
Every I put in three E Page Six and Allure all did goodies jokes in their leads or their headlines.
I know it should be goodies. It's
Sierra
called
has
Ohm?
Some. Oh, that's how you say. Oh, is it OAM or OM? Either way, it's not good. E says Sierra has got some goodies to share in the beauty space. Page Six says, I bet you want these goodies in their lead. And Allure just put it in the headline, which I respect. Sierra is about to drop a skincare line filled with goodies. But she didn't call it goodies.
None
she called it OAM.
What you're going to refer to was that
yes.
in this press release, it says, you know, Sierra's line is launching with 5 clinical level products, which she worked on with a team of board certified dermatologists to perfect testing her potions on 69 women with different skin tones. And I'm here to say everyone does that now. That is standard. Ever since Rihanna launched Fenty and did that, seriously, everyone does
that. Well, I was
going to
say,
Kardashian
is there a difference?
Does that. They all do that.
Is there a difference between test? Like, Rihanna sort of broke the mold and saying, like, no, I will release as many possible skin tones
yes.
as I can. Like, price be damned. Right. But is there a difference between
to do it.
To make all the SKUs? But is there a difference between releasing all of the shades and testing on shades? I'm just like, when I was reading this as someone who was like not well versed in skincare lingo, I was like,
I don't know.
Am I supposed to be impressed by this?
I mean, it's just funny because it's like she's rolling out the items that she's rolling out are just things that you can get anywhere else. Vitamin C cleanser, vitamin C pads, vitamin C serum, vitamin C eye cream. I mean, it just must be like easy to get in and like, if you're so beautiful like Sierra, it's like a no-brainer in a way. And like, I don't know, she has an audience that follows what she does. But it's just crazy to me that it's like, it almost feels like, because now you have like Selena, Rare, Hailey Bieber's like donut face, Ariana Grande's Rem, Skin by Kim, and Halsey has one, and Jennifer Lopez has hers, and Rihanna has Fenty. And it's like, it's just getting... I just don't understand how you're... And then you have the normal stuff, right?
Go and then you have Sephora. The normal stuff. Yeah.
Go to a
You
Sephora.
Have, like, the ordinary. You have, like, whatever you want. But, like, I have to... I think that this also goes back to our podcast conversation, our James Vanderbeek conversation from earlier this week, where it's like,
oh, James Vanderbeek.
This must be... I mean, I
it
understand
must be
that
lucrative.
All this... It must be lucrative. And I think the thing is, I don't know that... longevity is even the point here. It's sort of like, can we make a lot of money and fast? And it seems like that is definitely possible.
Remember Lori Harvey's skin line?
Where did that go?
Lori Harvey's skin line?
I'm sure she made a very pretty penny in those months where it was getting tons of promo. I haven't seen the promo for it lately. It's not getting written out of, like, Rihanna's gets written about constantly. When she releases a new line of whatever, people write about it. No one else really gets that persistent coverage. I don't think these things get done at the level that they get done. Like, every celebrity is doing it. I don't think that all these celebrities are glomming on to this trend unless they're making something. But I just don't, the thing that I don't believe, because this stuff is obviously, like you said, it's vitamin C, it's hyaluronic acid. This stuff is clearly proven to work. I have no questions about the results here, but it's sort of like they're all kind of doing
it's
the same
thing.
Though. I don't see passion in it, you know, with the exception of maybe Rihanna.
The proof is, and we'll end this here, is when Kim said, I don't use my own products. I use better versions that are more expensive of these products, and I'm going to make them cheaper and less good and sell them to you. That's all you need to
know. That's all you need to know. Also, OAM stands for On a Mission.
Right. To make money.
To make money.
Maboon is always a who fest, obviously, of who's and who's behavior. But Chloe Fineman's post about her VMA outfit is sending me to the moon. I need you to go to her Instagram and see her post about her VMA outfit. It is in a paid partnership with someone, and you're going to lose your mind when you see who it is. I know you're probably thinking, like, oh, a paid partnership with Tom Ford or something. Oh, no, friends. It's far more unhinged than that. Okay. Crunch, me and Grease.
What's so funny about this is I didn't see her outfit or dress or anything until it was on like the worst dressed list. So do you think that she purposefully dressed bad to get on the list to give the Spawn more attention? Because the Spawn itself doesn't actually get hurt by the fact that the dress is ugly, you know? If anything, it just brings more attention to the fact that she was wearing a weird dress. What do you think? That's a good
theory. Hadn't considered that. That's like good galaxy brain stuff, and I wouldn't put it past, like, Chloe Fineman's a comedian. She's a funny person. I think that she would have a sense of humor about this sort of thing. And also, the VMAs are ridiculous. If you're going to do something ridiculous, you may as well do it at the VMAs. I think that makes sense. I think that that's very, like, a cunning thing for a brand to do. Yeah. I think that makes sense. I believe it. Sure.
All right.
Sure.
We haven't even revealed what is going on with this Spawn.
I just don't. What is it? I guess my.
Sorry, what was your initial thought?
At minimum, I would say, there's no way she thinks this dress looks good. Like, you know, it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's custom carte couture by, I assume, designers. But I'm not going to blame them for this, because they had to design a dress for Chloe Fineman that was Spawn for Instacart.
We've seen wedding dresses, pink neon feathers, purple sequins, jumpsuits and a freaking meat dress. And now another one for the history books is sitting beside me, serving grocery cart couture, if you will. It is Saturday Night Live's Chloe Fineman.
Ooh, hello, hello.
This is really something, Chloe.
Yeah, it's carte couture. It's from House of Instacart, really, really hot fashion brand. I have gumballs and lentil and all sort. I'll show you more under my dress.
Ooh.
Take off my little jacket.
Oh my gosh, you need help with that?
Ugh.
Wow.
No, we're good. Yeah, we've got gumballs and candy. I got lentils over here.
Wow.
Yeah, I have low blood sugar, so,
okay,
so I need to sneak food into the show.
There are so many major fashion moments when you think about the VMAs, and even tonight happening all around us. What is your key to standing out when it comes to the VMA red carpet?
You know, I go for my favorite muse, which is food.
Yeah.
Instacart.
Which is the service that delivers groceries to your door. And if you're wondering, well, how can you turn that concept into a dress? The answer is you can't.
You can't.
You can't do it.
So she had food hidden in the dress. Again, I really can't see. Maybe if the dress construction was more revealed to me, I'd be like, interesting. There's like funny pockets. She's taking Cheez-Its out. I mean, I don't really understand how the food isn't integrated into this dress, but apparently she was like delivering food or sneaking food into the VMAs. That was the concept of the spawn. Was that the concept of the spawn?
But the dress is also holographic vinyl, I'm quoting their press release, holographic vinyl, holographic PU, silver nylon, metallic organza, organdy, duchess satin, and polyfill that playfully imitates a cart and popular snack packaging. I don't see that visualized here. What I see is something that Matt Damon made while he was on Mars. Like, this looks like scraps from a NASA spaceship crash.
Okay, but
that
didn't he also like plant
together.
His own poopy in the ground and like grow the potatoes?
Yes. But doesn't it look like spaceship wreckage? Because what she wrote on Instagram was looking like a snack, also wearing actual snacks. Thanks, House of Instacart, for this custom cart couture look by 3as4, so I could sneak them into this year's VMAs. Sneaky Instacart partner, but she misspelled Instacart. She misspelled Instacart in her paid promo.
No, it's not.
Inset cart partner.
I just took that screenshot. I like literally
Chloe,
took that.
Chloe, fix your caption. I don't really understand the spawn here, but you're right. It appears to have worked.
Well, I mean, define worked. I didn't notice it the night of. I only noticed it
because
of the caller.
We're talking about Instacart
the
on a podcast.
Okay, well,
it worked.
They got us.
They did it. They got us. What's Chloe Fineman's deal?
Great question. She does good impressions, and she's nepotism, and she's Scientologist. That's it.
She's all three, right? She is a Scientologist, right? Do we know, or is she one of those Scientologists where it's like you're not quite sure? Okay. But her father is Chris Elliott, right?
Yeah.
You're confusing her with Abby Elliott.
Oh, who's her dad?
Her dad, no. Her dad is a biotech executive and her mom is a painter.
Oh my God. Okay. Shout out to her. So she's just a Scientologist.
So she's just she's just a potential Scientologist. We don't even know that she's a Scientologist. Be wary of that.
No,
okay?
Come on. She is, though.
We don't know for a fact that she's a Scientologist. There are just rumors that her father was a very, very, very influential Scientologist, aka a rich one, because you need money to be an influential Scientologist. But we don't know. We don't know. She's a who, though, right? It's unclear whether or not she's a Scientologist, but it's perfectly clear that she needs a new stylist. How about that?
No, she probably made like $70,000 to like wear this ugly dress. Who cares?
Guess where she gave the money? Guess where she gave the money?
No. Don't
care. No. Hi, Weekly. My friend just saw Alana Haim and that guy from Stranger Things, Joseph Quinn, having coffee together. And I think that's an interesting who pairing. I don't know if this is anything. Obviously, I'm going to tell you and not Dumois, but we'll keep an eye on it. Crunch, crunch.
You heard it here first. Alana Haim and Joseph Quinn are engaged, and Alana Haim is pregnant. So I don't know what else to tell you.
Wait, where did they
They're
say
engaged.
That in that
They're
call?
Engaged, and she's pregnant.
Isn't he gay? No, Joseph Quinn's not the gay one. The gay one is Vecna. Nah,
don't
right?
say Vecna on this pod. You cannot
I
say Vecna on this podcast.
Because I didn't watch Stranger Things season, bleh, I don't know any of the, like, I don't know who Joseph Quinn is. I know he's the one that Doja Cat was like, get me his number. And then, like, whatever. So he must be straight, maybe. But then, like, I know Vecna's gay.
Yeah.
Vecna's gay. Why
would
you
I didn't know Vecna
him?
Was gay, but that makes sense. I believe
are
that.
Are you, like, what are you, like, embarrassed?
No, I just didn't know. No, I'm not embarrassed okay. that Doesn't Vecna's sound... gay. Villains can
Sounds
be gay,
like...
Lindsay.
Villains like can be have, gay. You don't have pride because you don't want Vecna to be gay. And he is gay.
He's gay. So, and Alana Haim is pregnant and Joseph Quinn is engaged to her. They're actually getting married tomorrow.
I love
tomorrow.
That she was like, I didn't want to give this to Demwan. It's like, yeah, give it to us. We'll just call her pregnant.
Okay.
This would be a good couple, though. This would
That's
be good
a good couple.
Couple.
I sort of am wondering what happened to Doja in all of this, but also they could just be hanging out. They're
okay.
friends.
Well, I think Doja.
She's kidding. She's pregnant. They're engaged.
Doja
They're
had
actually
enough.
Married. They're married. She's pregnant.
Stop calling women pregnant.
I know. I shouldn't be calling women pregnant. I'm sorry.
I know.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby, and Timmy. I just watched the trailer for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, or maybe it's Honey and Blood. And of course, it does terrible, as one can imagine. However, there is an actress attached to the project. Her name is Amber Doingthorne. And looking at her IMDb and the work that she's doing, it's kind of crazy. Like, I'm trying to figure out if this girly who's featured in the trailer, albeit it's a confusing trailer, if she's, like, the daughter of a BBC exec or, like, what her deal is. But the only kind of interesting fact about her that is splayed all over her IMDb is that she has interviewed Al Gore, you know, in parentheses, former vice president of America, about his stance on climate change. And that fact is, like, something that is the last sentence of her bio. I don't think that's quite, I guess it's an accomplishment, although we all know what Al Gore's stance on climate change is, but I mean, good for her, Amber. I kind of am just curious who she is, and yeah, I mean, Amber Doingthorne is just a really funny name. Crunch, crunch.
I think it's Doing. Because I was like, is it Doing? I don't know. I think it's Doing.
It's not Doing. It's not like Doing. It's not like Amber Doingthorne. She's literally been in thousands of videos on YouTube. Like, just pick one and she'll say it.
Hi, guys. I'm Amber Doingthorne, and today I'm here with Emily Blunt, Sean Krasinski, star and director of the gripping new thriller A Quiet Place. Hi, guys. I'm Amber Doingthorne, and today I'm here with Rebecca Ferguson, Henry Cavill, Simon Pegg, Vanessa Kirby, star of Mission Impossible Fallout. Hi, guys. I'm Amber Doingthorne, and today I'm here with Javon Wade, star of The First Purge.
I will not be able to make it through this segment without laughing. Here, listen
Amber
to this. Like,
Doingthorne.
I'm sorry, listen to this.
Hi, I'm Amber. Welcome back to my channel. Today, I'm here with Al Gore, ahead of the release of his film, An Inconvenient Sequel. Al, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you, Amber.
Why? Why are you with Al Gore ahead of the release of An Inconvenient Sequel?
No, this woman is an actress, but she's also an iconic junket interviewer, which I don't even understand. Like, this woman... She attends every movie premiere, even if stuff, definitely of stuff that she's not in. She's literally doing so many junket interviews. I don't even know for what, like platforms or papers or whatever. And she's in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. She's in the movie. I don't even know how this person picked her out, but I'm so glad that they did, because this woman screams, I'm an actress, you know?
Yes.
She's putting in the work. She's doing more work than anyone. This is the opposite of nepotism. She's off the scale. She's literally working so hard.
The best I could find, I don't think that she's nepotism at all. Like, if she's secretly the child of a BBC exec, I don't know that I would be surprised. But also, I feel like British press would have figured it out.
She's working so hard at this industry that if she was nepotism, she would be Meryl Streep by now. Like, she would be the most famous person on the planet with much work she's putting in.
Also,
look at her website, amberdoigthorn.com. It's like she literally is in hundreds of horror movies. She is doing every single...
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
It's a lot, but it's not hundreds.
She's been in movies like The Return of
Krampus.
She's
been in 50. She's been in
Watch
50
Out for the
things.
Wolves. The Subordinate and Jerome.
The names are funny. She has so many that are like, she has so many that are just completed, pre-production, post, like over a dozen that are either completed or post-production or pre-production. Like the red, the color red, I've never seen this much color red in someone's IMDb profile, in IMDb credits. There's so much stuff that's like in the middle of being finished. But one of the big ones, the reason the caller called is because they watched the trailer for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. And the reason everyone's talking about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey is it's the first big release that's been made with Winnie the Pooh IP post it going into the public domain. So people are like, now
no,
I can do whatever the fuck I want with. And the same thing happened with Great Gatsby recently. Winnie the Pooh is public domain. People can do whatever they want with it. And so this is the first movie where people are taking the Winnie the Pooh legend or story, legend, myth, I don't know, and turning Winnie the Pooh into a serial killer. And he is, I guess, going to kill Amber Doak Thorne in the movie. And she's featured prominently in the trailer. And if you work backwards, you will see that she loves being in front of the camera, whether an actor or interviewing celebrities. And she's also big on TikTok.
Yeah, she like has a really big TikTok audience too. She does spawn for like Mini Cooper.
Is she a nah or is she a who? And I think it's the aspiration behind what's here that kind of moves her into very early who territory. I think she is a who. I think that she is really, really striving. This photo of her at a 4DX theater doing spawn for some combination of, oh, it's specifically for Cineworld in London. I'm a huge, yeah. And it's a photo of her alone in a 4DX theater posing beside a bag of popcorn and a blue icy. And it says, I'm a huge Marvel fan. And I've been not so patiently waiting to see Shang-Chi. Let me tell you, I was not disappointed. This film was one of the best things to happen to the MCU, and watching it in 4DX made it extra epic. Then there is a paragraph about why 4DX is good that ends with, what should I go and see next in 4DX? Book your 4DX tickets right now through the link in my bio. Hashtag ad, hashtag Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings. Like, she's doing the work.
This is
here.
The type of girly where she gets thousands of products sent to her by PR a day.
Yes.
And
yes.
She posts every single one of them and says, thank you at Clarisol. Thank you at, you know, Cheesecake Factory. It's incredible. I mean,
she has got that
literal luggage that's custom. It says Amber at Amber Doak Thorne.
She got that American pickle free soda stream that I got, but she definitely thanked HBO Max and I did not. I just took the soda stream and ran.
This is a great tweet. Turns out I'm ranked on the top 500 actors in the world on IMDb Star Meter. Still overwhelmed by the amount of love for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Thanks for all your support. So excited to share this film with you later this year.
Oh my God.
Are you seeing Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
If it's at Essex, I'll go. It might just be a rental. I don't see this going to theaters. Is it going to theaters?
It looks crazy. It's like, did you know the plot of it? It's like Christopher John. Was that his name? Christopher Allen?
Christopher Robin. His name?
Christopher Robin like left us here and now we've turned into like scary monsters and we're seeking revenge.
Oh my God. I kind of like that.
He was like, I'm sorry I left you, Winnie.
I kind of like that.
Friends or whatever.
So Amber Doak Thorne, we're huge fans now. Never heard of her until this call and now I'm thrilled.
Oscar?
I think that this is going to work for her. I think she's going to end up in some reality show or she's going to end up somewhere vaguely prominent, more prominent than where she is now.
Did you say vaguely prominent?
She's got that fire in her. You can tell.
Hey guys, it's Amber. Welcome back to my channel. Today, this video is a little bit weird. I'm in hospital. Not for anything serious, just to get my old wisdom teeth removed. As I'm sure you might have known if you've been watching my stories, I've had a few tooth infections over the last month or so in my bottom left wisdom tooth. They're both my bottom wisdom
is
teeth.
Is Gumby a who or a them? Crunch, crunch.
Is Gumby a who or a them?
Yeah.
One, two, three, them?
Them. Yeah, Gumby's a them. Is Gumby's horse friend a who or a them?
That's a who. I don't know what the name is.
What's Gumby's horse friend a name? Again, like, we've done this. We've talked about this before on the podcast. I'm having, like, the most deja vu. It's, like, making me nauseous.
Pokey.
Pokey.
We've definitely done this before, now that I'm thinking about it.
And Gumby's girlfriend is named, like, Vanessa or something. And then we got it wrong, and then people corrected us.
Her name is Tara.
And we laughed about it. His name is Tara.
I'm losing my mind.
I guess it remains She's funny blue. That Gumby is named Gumby and Gumby's girlfriend is named Tara. And what's Gumby's horse name again? Would you say?
Pookie. Pokey. Pokey.
Okay.
The only them is Gumby. The thing is, like, Gumby is a them despite the fact that I never watched a Gumby show, I never consumed any Gumby content, he was just around. Like, nothing else looks like that.
Also, did Gumby make it into the new generation? Like, does anyone from Gen Z know Gumby? Or is he a figure?
This is what we need. This will make the segment worth something. Gen Z, if you are familiar with Gumby, call in. And if you've never heard of Gumby, call in.
Do you know what Gumby sounds like? Do I know what Gumby sounds like? Do we have, like, what's Gumby? Okay.
I know wondering. As much about Gumby's voice as I know about Camilla Maroney's voice. Okay.
Hello? Oh, hello, Pokey.
Gumby, can you meet me in Western Town right away?
Hold on a minute. I'll have to get my father's permission.
Hey, BLT. Long time. This is more of a question for Lindsay, I suppose. But I wanted to know, is the Great Boston Molasses Flood a who or a them? Thank you. Good form, Bella Thorne. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much for this great question about my heritage. Bobby, do you know about the Boston Molasses Flood?
I do, but I learned about it. I didn't know about it until I lived here. Like, someone I met in New York told me about it.
Okay.
I didn't know about it until I was in my 30s, I will say.
Yeah, I think it's a who, because you know about the Tea Party, duh.
Yeah, of course. Oh my God, yeah.
Okay, right.
Oh my God.
Sure.
That's how, like, every fourth grade public school class starts in Boston. Your teacher comes in and goes, you know about the Tea Party, right? You know about the Tea Party?
I'm sure half the people are hearing this are like, what is that?
Yeah, explain what happened.
A storage tank filled with this feels very the cow knocking over the pail and starting the fire, I have to say. A large
Chicago.
Storage tank. This happened in 1919. A large storage tank filled with 2.3 million gallons of molasses. It burst and the wave of molasses rushed through the streets at 35 miles per hour, killing 21 and injuring 150. And apparently, like, it smelled like molasses for like a million years when it was hot. It smelled like sugar.
I mean, 21 people died because molasses. I think
that's
I have
crazy.
A hard time, like a lot of people, I have a hard time, like with
you,
volume.
Like, how do you even envision that? Like, how do you even, like, think about that?
It's like, you know, like, whenever you get, like, you get a drink in a cup that's thin and cylindrical. And then maybe you get a drink in a cup that's small and quite rounded, quite bulbous. And then you're like, that's not much drink. And then you realize it's the exact same amount that was in the tall cylindrical thing. Like,
okay,
I have no sense of, like, what 2.3 million, like, even if I saw a gigantic barrel of molasses, I don't know what that would be like if it were spilling on the street, is what I'm saying. The transformative quality of, like, matter, viscous matter, I don't know how to deal with it. I just have no way to, this is just so wild to me. It almost seems like it's fake. Like, it's not real.
It's a little bit hard to kind of understand.
It's hard to wrap my, my head around, like, every single detail of the story. It's hard for me to wrap my head around it.
Like, in terms of Boston history, it's not one that we're just, like, discussing. They did a drunk history about it. I do remember that.
Because it's, like,
that.
A great shame. Like, why would you discuss this? Yeah. So it's a them in Boston. It's just a who to me.
I think it's a them in Boston. Yeah. I think it's a them in Boston.
Okay. I just know that, like, when we went to Boston, I didn't see this marker that says Boston Molasses Flood, but I did go to Cheers. So, like...
Okay, well, you only went to Cheers.
I went to that cafe.
I'm just saying, like, it's not like you walked the Freedom Trail. You only went to Cheers.
I've walked the Freedom Trail in the past.
We don't have, like, molasses floods like this anymore, but that truck dumped a bunch of Alfredo sauce on the freeway this week.
Mamma Mia, I saw that.
That's crazy. I like the headline that was like, it smelled good, and then it smelled really bad a few hours later.
No, my favorite headline was on the New York Times. It just said, after truck spills on highway, quote, Alfredo sauce is everywhere. Yeah, that was, and it was their deck. An overturned truck in Memphis covered the road in Alfredo sauce. It reportedly smelled great at first.
Yeah.
What was the brand?
I don't know what the brand was. I think
God,
all
I cannot read it.
Honestly,
leave it to the New York.
All bottled Alfredo sauces, though, are bad.
I'm sorry. Leave it to the New York Times to make a story about Alfredo sauce spilling on a highway into the most boring shit you've ever seen. The fifth paragraph, invented in the early 1900s by the chef Alfredo Delelio and still featured at his namesake restaurant in Rome. The sauce is made with... It's like, oh my God, just tell me the brand of the sauce that spilled all over the highway. Unfortunately, this is Memphis, and we've had some pretty intense sun beating down on that Alfredo sauce, and also humidity. It was not a great recipe for a highway full of Alfredo sauce. Oh my god. Okay, we're done. Alfredo sauce, them?
Oh, in terms of tomato sauce? In terms of pasta sauces?
Pasta sauce. Iconic pasta
sauce. Yeah, you've got tomato, Italian you've got sauce. Pesto, you've got Alfredo.
Yeah, okay, great.
Vodka, nice try.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. Keep calling in at 619 Who Them to leave questions, comments, and concerns. Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Read a Theme Song on Mondays. Thank you to Timmy, our research and editorial assistant, for researching and editorializing. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for bonus episodes, commentaries, occasional newsletters, Discord server, and more. You can also get the VIP audio on Apple Podcasts. Just subscribe in the app. It's a lot easier. We'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Oh, pre-order my book wherever you get books, The Old Place. You'll like it. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You will drain it.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby, classic. I had to pause the pause situation, except I got distracted, so I paused it like 8 hours ago. So I can't believe we got through a whole segment on Talon Torriero, and we didn't bring up the fact that he dated Nicole Scherzinger. Does anyone else remember this besides me? It's burned in my brain, and I, like, wait for people to bring it up, because what was that? Anyways, if you could explain to me what that was, that would be great. Continue a lesbian. Bye-bye.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. First time, no time. I'm not really a listener of your podcast. I'm vaguely aware of it by association through my fiance. But we were talking about how far back the Whodom really goes, and I was testing that theory. So here is my idea for you. Catherine Parr. Does anybody know who she is? No, we don't. We know Anne Boleyn.
Who's clearly a them.
But no one knows who Catherine Parr is. Could Catherine Parr be the most ancient of the thems? Let me know.
The who's.
Or the who's.
Crunch, crunch.
Apparently you're supposed to say crunch, crunch.
Tin Table Lesbian Lindsay Podcaster.
Bye.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby, Timmy. I've been doing some meetings the past few weeks, like running them, and I've realized I've started ending with questions, comments, concerns, And I was thinking, where does this come from? Why did I start saying this? Why am I ending my meetings this way? And then I realized how Bobby ends every call or request for calls. So now I'm doing it in a work setting. There you go. You've infiltrated my brain. Porkin Sorkin.